The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 9 minutes after eight, Dr. Dennis Powers joins me here in a moment where past meets present. We'll talk about some of the measures, certainly. Of course, as you know, if you look behind me on Facebook Live, I'm no on all the state measures, but there are some local measures that we need to have some conversation about, too. City of Ashland and beyond. We'll kick that all around here in our brief time together. There's never enough time as we lead up to the election, okay? Now, if time is short for you and you need a better deal on insurance, talk with Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. His number is 261-5444, 261-5444. Steve is an independent. Sky Park Insurance has saved a lot of KMED and KBXG listeners a lot of money over the years because he's able to work and craft and have other companies competing. You know, if one company cancels you for fire, maybe there's another one that he can find a better deal on, et cetera, et cetera. There's even been some weird things I've heard going on from various insurances that one company will counsel one person and then they'll go to another company and get them coverage. And another person loses coverage from that same company that they got coverage in. It's really weird what's going on. You need a pro helping you out like Steve Yancey. 261-5444, 261-5444. And he doesn't work just fire insurance. It's also home insurance and RV insurance, car, life. It's all in there. Even Medicare with Lynn Barton. Sky Park Insurance, skyparkins.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
If you have an appliance that's giving you trouble, Just-In-Time Appliance is your fast and affordable mobile appliance repair, serving the Rogue Valley. Just-In-Time services and repairs all brands. Major appliances often can be repaired, extending their life and saving you money. So give Just-In-Time Appliance a no-obligation call for advice on whether it can be fixed with the best warranty around. Before you go to the expense of buying a new appliance, call Just-In-Time Appliance online at justintimeappliance.com.
Imagine a Jackson County where every family feels safe, no resident is homeless, and all businesses succeed. Randy Sparacino will keep our communities safe by strengthening law enforcement, addressing the homelessness and housing crisis, and encouraging economic growth.
Together, we will ensure that Jackson County remains a place where safety, opportunity, and freedom thrive.
Vote Randy Sparacino for Jackson County Commissioner. Paid for by Sparacino for Oregon, ID 20676.
With only an outline of the story, without knowing the players, it takes on the eerie feel of a Stephen King scary movie. A large corporation gives away an app to debilitate our kids, knowing full well that the app causes a psychotic addiction in less than 30 minutes. Mood swings, depression, disassociation with the family, and an uncontrollable need to stay on the app all the time, which leads to even more trauma. Fiction? Nope. Your kids and your grandchildren are already captive to this evil. I'm Kim Commando for T-Mobile. Their advanced network now goes farther than ever before. Visit T-Mobile.com/55 today. The app is TikTok, of course. A communist Chinese company gives away the app for free. ByteDance is the evil I've described. As if the psychological trauma that TikTok causes is not enough, consider that when, not if, America confronts China militarily, we'll be facing an enemy with the ability to speak to and infiltrate the minds of our children. Get my free newsletter at GetKim.com. Hey friends, Kim here. You know, it seems the older you get, the savvier you become at saving money. I really hate to overspend on things, especially the necessities. But thanks to T-Mobile, I don't have to worry about overpaying for wireless service, so I've got more time and money to spend on other things. At T-Mobile, customers 55 and up can get 2 lines of talk, text, and data for just $30 a month per line. That's a 45% savings versus Verizon and AT&T. Plus, Scam Shield Premium is included, which means fewer scam calls and more tools to help you optimize and organize your mobile life. Experience all this and more with T-Mobile, America's largest 5G network. Don't miss out. Get 2 lines of talk, text, and data for $30 a month per line at T-Mobile. Visit T-Mobile.com or your local store to make the switch and save.
With AutoPay using debit or bank account plus taxes and fees, 25% off 2 lines versus AT&T Starter and Verizon Welcome. Plan benefits vary. See details. Capable device required for Scam Shield. Turning on Scam Block might block calls you want.
Hear KMED in Grants Pass on 105.9 K290 AF Rogue River in South Jackson County on 106.7 K294 AS Ashland.
14 after 8. President Trump serving the fries up through the window.
A lot of fun here, everybody.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Look at all the pictures of it. Hello, everybody.
You can take this, right?
You know, this is compliments of Trump, okay?
Yes, thank you. Mr. President, please don't let the United States become Brazil, my native Brazil.
Oh, we'll keep it good.
Please, please.
We're going to make it better than ever, okay?
Boy, how interesting. Don't let the United States become my native Brazil. Wasn't that interesting, Doc? How you doing? Welcome back, Dr. Powers. Good to have you on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like the Nicaragua. Vote for the oligarchs means a vote for Nicaragua, no matter where it's state, local, or national.
Yeah, well, we're fighting the oligarchs here, certainly in Southern Oregon, too, for that matter. And, before we get back into sordid politics, dirty politics here, why don't we talk a little bit of great history from Southern Oregon? Dr. Powers, of course, is retired professor of business law at Southern Oregon University, back when Southern Oregon University actually meant something, I think. But let's talk about a little bit of country music here in Southern Oregon. A great look back about the Maddox Brothers and Rose. What can you tell us about that group?
What an incredible story, because basically going back to the Depression days of 1933, the Maddox kids, there are five of them, aged from 5 to about 17 with their parents, were tenant farmers in Alabama, and in a flood, the crops were destroyed. The owner lost the land. It took them 7 months of riding the rails and hitchhiking, a family of seven, to get finally to the Hooverville in Oakland, California, where they settled into Modesto, mm-hmm. and they were fruit tramps, picked fruits and vegetables in the San Joaquin Valley. What's so amazing is that to earn extra money, this family that was very musical started playing, Bill, for local dances. And Rose, at that time, was only 12 years old in the late 30s.
Even in honky-tonks, she's working the honky-tonks in the Great Depression, right?
Oh, absolutely. And then they went into the Sentinel Sacramento State Fair, a hillbilly band competition. They won it. Then they became popular due to Sacramento radio station KFBK, which I remember going way back. But then World War II came in. But then they came in after World War II as the Maddox Brothers and Rose. Long story short is the fact that they were the most colorful hillbilly band in America because of their real showy stage dress. As a matter of fact, Elvis, in seeing their stage dress at one of their jams or concerts, said, I've got to go ahead and get myself some of those. And that's the way that continued.
How did they end up coming up to Southern Oregon, though, and making their home up here? How did that happen, huh?
That was Don Maddox, and I had the real opportunity through a close friend to go ahead and to meet Don here, because he was the one that back, five decades ago, needed to find work to pay his bills. And the reason is that that's when Rose and one of the brothers had headed off to go ahead and do their own show. But he wanted to be a cowboy or a range rider. So
he wanted to be a real cowboy, so he buys a ranch up here, huh?
That's right. It was advertised for $35,000. He bought 300 acres just outside the city of Ashland that was some irrigated a house. And then it was interesting because if you were driving on I-5, both going and coming from Ashland on I-5, not 5, I-5, what you have then is you saw this big M on the roof for Maddox.
Oh, that was
the one. That was the one. And he really worked hard as a rancher. And that acreage then became extraordinarily valuable. And then the whole family, as their singing careers went downhill, only because they were getting older, and they still had some great songs, including Rose, was able, Bill, to go ahead and had a Grammy on one of her ones about three decades ago. But anyway, the whole family came into the Ashland Ranch, and then he was rediscovered, Don Maddox, about 10 years ago. His good friend was Merle Haggard and Marty Stewart, mm-hmm. and little Jimmy Dickens. And what he said then is that I've been working this place for 54 years and nobody recognized me as a famous country music singer until now. He died just 3 years ago. He was 98 years old.
He was the last surviving member, wasn't he? Yeah, final one.
He was the last surviving member. I saw his jams. I saw when he married Barbara, that actually was when he called his child bride, although she was part of his same generation. It was one of those stories where hillbilly music was really just before rockabilly. And they, the music experts, have been pretty unanimous in saying that Fred Maddox had developed the slapped bass. That was the first instrumentation that headed into rock and roll. And so you had a story of a poor, dirt poor family. Can you imagine 7 months? 5 to 15, making the rails, going ahead, working as you could to get from Alabama all the way up here to California.
And you know what intrigued me about this, reading the story about the Maddox brothers and Rose? It reminded me a little bit about George Benson. Now, George Benson is still alive. Do you know George Benson? You know, the jazz guitarist?
I've heard you mention him. Yeah. And I've also heard some of his music, but please go ahead.
Yeah, of course, you know him as, he did on Broadway a cover of that and The Greatest Love of All. Just a wonderful artist. But he grew up in Pittsburgh, and in the Great Depression, shortly after the Depression, and especially, he was a little boy, and he taught himself to play guitar. And so there it is. He's in the bars at nighttime. And, you know, his family was very poor, but because his dad left the family, right? And he ended up at, he was getting like $5 a night back then for this little boy to play guitar at that point. He became a star in those sort of things, kind of like how Rose was 12 years old, right? And
and
working the honky tonks for cash too. You know, it's a very similar kind of background story in that respect.
That's right. And some of her big recordings, Bill, was that the Woody Guthrie song, "The Philadelphia Lawyer," mm-hmm. "Tramp on the Street," and what really gets me, instead of these wussies that we have demonstrating, saying we need more money or get out of the war, and they're living with their parents, we had people that were really doing something in those days.
Darn straight. Yeah, they were just working it and working it hard, you know. You know, the funny thing is that now George Benson's mom said, "Okay, what you got him working in the club?" He said, "Well, yeah, he's getting paid $5 a night." Oh. Oh, okay. It's like all of a sudden mom forgave him, that kind of thing.
I love those stories, Bill, because it started in these honky-tonks in terms of Rose, who is 12 years old, as you're pointing out. And again, we had these people that really just worked hard. I can't imagine a family of seven taking 7 months to ride the rails.
Yeah,
that's what they did.
They did what they had to do to survive, and that's the way it was at that time. And so a great profile, Maddox Brothers and Rose. Doc, hang on through the break here, and we're going to talk about some current, because it's always where past meets present, right? We're going to take it to the present, and man, crazy time, isn't it? Crazy time.
You got it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that all coming up.
Life's busy, and you need to be on time.
News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
25 after 8, Dr. Powers. I've had some people writing me, asking my opinion on the Ashland measures, the local measures that people will be voting for in this November election. Have you taken much of a look at those yet?
When we talked about it, I also recalled talking about it with others, but it's one of those non-transparent measures, because in the voter pamphlets book, which is what, a half inch thick, there's nothing about those. And with no real newspapers covering it other than Ashland.news, which is extraordinarily liberal, you're not having any information on it.
Okay, all right.
Incredible.
Well, there are three that Ashland residents, and you live in Ashland, that's why I brought this up. And people were asking me what we thought about it. And I have some opinions on it. Maybe you have a difference of opinion on it. But 15-232, that's for the city of Ashland. It's a charter change, and it would be an open seat election for city council. Because as it is right now, if you're running for city council, you run for a particular seat, that kind of thing. And and what they're claiming then is that if people vote for this, you would just be running for the open slate of seats. That, in other words, you're not running for one particular seat. You're running for any of them. And I guess you would give it, if you had three open seats, for example, the top three vote-getters would end up getting those seats. There are some other cities like Jacksonville that do it that way. What do you think? Should people stick with their seat number that they're running for, or should it be kind of an at-large kind of deal? What do you think?
Well, you know, it's such a no, I can't believe it, because that issue came up. I was talking to an accountant just a couple of days ago. And you see, when you have a city council that really is far left, if you take a look at some of the oldies but goodies that are running for city council, including one whose claim to fame for the city council, about 10, 15 years ago, is that he played croquet naked and nude.
Yay.
You have these type of people going through. So an easy way for incumbents to keep their way, and for the new guys, instead of going after one of their own, they come in on an open seat basis.
Okay, so in other words, you would suggest keeping it as it is. You know, the way I would look at it is that, if you have it just all the seats are open and they just take the top three votes, that's kind of a version of ranked choice voting ultimately. You'd end up having 40 leftists running and two or three conservatives, and they just get washed out, right?
That's a very good point, Bill, because it exactly would be working the way 117 does. And, you know, on that one, we had discussed this, and you had discussed this with others about rank voting, which is a crock. The bottom line was, again, I was talking to this accountant who is conservative. He says, I don't really understand what this 117 is about. He's very bright.
Oh, and yeah. So no, believe me, it is designed to make voting even more confusing. All you have to remember, just remind these people, Doc, that Measure 15-117 or the one for ranked choice voting, is so complex and it's so bad that the state legislature, which is referring this to the people, will not use ranked choice voting for their elections, but they want them used for the other elections. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, and you see, there's only two states in the union that have been using it. Oregon, of course, with its blue litmus test, is trying to go ahead and make the news again after making such a big mistake in terms of legalizing heroin. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where on that one, and I haven't even seen my ballot yet. I'd like to know that.
Yeah, I haven't seen mine. I think it's probably going to be there today. So we would, now I'm no on all the state measures, so I think we're a solid no then on the local one for the city of Ashland on the open seat. The other one for the Ashland ballot is a charter amendment making the municipal judge an appointed position rather than an elected position. I'm a big fan of elected judges. What about you?
Oh, absolutely. This is another one that's a big no, because, if you can't get non-citizens to vote, make it appointed by a far-left city council.
Okay.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
All right, good. So we'll say no on 233 also, all right? Now, 15-234, referred to to the people by the city of Ashland. They're looking for authority for $75 million in revenue bonds to finance building water system improvements. Should they get it? What do you think?
No. And you know why? This has been this for several reasons. First of all, lack of transparency. Because, for example, the city council went ahead and said it would be like $50 to $75 million. And this just came out. Lack of transparency 2 days ago on Ashland News. That's the first any of us had heard about these discussions. 50 to 75. Let's go for the 75, right, guys? No, vote no.
Okay. Hey, Measure 17-119, it would bring 9 cents per thousand for RCC. I have mixed emotions about this. I know that both Jackson and Josephine County are voting on this. I don't know if I like the idea of Jackson County voting for something that could force Josephine County to go for a 9 cent per thousand. It wouldn't increase our taxes, but it would increase Josephine County's taxes. This would be for RCC. And I know I talked with the president a few weeks ago about, bringing more job training, bringing Josephine and Jackson County campuses more in line with one another. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I agree with him. I had the opportunity to talk with him probably about a week or so ago. He made some very valid arguments about being able to make training for, you know, everyone from truck drivers on. I'd vote yes for it myself because of the fact that it's one of those ones that really makes more sense. And the other reason is the litmus test. When I drive around Ashland, my friend, I see all these little signs that go ahead for, vote for Denise Krauts, and you know they're far left, because it's the same ones that put up the same signs every single election year. But then for a couple that I know were conservative and independent, like, for example, they had the American flag out, they said vote yes for 117. Well, then after I
talked to the president. Or 17-119, you mean? 119.
Exactly.
Okay, so the RCC.
I'd vote yes for RCC.
All right. Now, as far as the state measures, we're already a solid no on 117, which is ranked choice voting, okay? This is the most horrible thing, and all you have to remember is that these are the sort of things referred to by the state legislature. State legislature is controlled by the hard left, and there's no way that they would want to give you a different way of voting in order to get someone that's not far left. Unless they saw the advantage, they wouldn't do that, okay?
Agreed.
Now, Measure 115. I know a lot of conservatives will be fooled by this, Doc, in my opinion. Measure 15 would amend the state constitution to allow the House of Representatives to impeach statewide elected officials in the executive branch, the governor, secretary of state, state treasurer, attorney general, and the commissioner of Boley. Now, the thing is, though, is that it requires a two-thirds majority, all right? The way I see the state of Oregon under the current milieu is that it's under almost total Oregon Democrat Party control. To me, they're never going to be impeaching Democrats. The only way that two-thirds majority will be used is to impeach Republicans that buck them. That's the way I would look at it. What about you? You have an opinion on it?
You're right, because when I was talking with some people a couple of days ago and these type of issues came up, even though they're going to vote for Trump and even though they're going to go ahead and do things, there were a couple of them that said, oh, I'm going to vote for that one on impeaching to get rid of lousy people. And I made the argument of saying, yeah, but that didn't work at all in terms of the independents, Republicans that are not being able to run now because the two-thirds that came up in terms of the vote. Then.
Yeah, that's what it would be used against. It would be used against people that are protesting the Democrat overreach. And because it's a democratically controlled legislature, why would you give them the power? Don't do it. You
Precisely,
can't go there.
Right? And it's fooling people who otherwise would vote no.
Yeah, because they're not connecting the dots as to how this power would be used in a highly corrupt legislative system. A Democrat-controlled legislative state. That's the bottom line here, okay? So you have to be no on the impeachment one. Now, measure one...
Bill, we haven't even talked about this before. So this is one of those ones where we're just chatting. So let's go on to your next one, and please.
All right. Measure 116, also referred by the state legislature, it would amend the state constitution to establish the Independent Public Service Commission to determine salaries for officials, including the governor, the state treasurer, attorney general, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, they're saying that this would be a better way of raising salaries or keeping salaries in line. I think the best argument against this comes from Noah Robinson. You know Noah Robinson, the conservative Republican running in District 2 for Senate? And he said that creating this commission would allow officials to get pay raises without taking responsibility for it. And I think he's absolutely right. I think it's all you need to know. And so I do too,
Bill, because if you take a look at the Taxpayers Association of Oregon, PAC, that came in with their recommendations, no one won 17, rank vote voting scheme. 118, no, $1.2 billion tax.
Yep.
119, no, silences business owners. You know, and frankly, if we were not in a blue state, we would still vote no because these are idiotic measures.
Yeah, and by the way, 118, I think they're kind of I think they're going against it in a bad way. They say vote against the costly sales tax, Measure 118.
That's misleading.
Yeah, it is misleading. Vote against it. I mean, you should vote against it, but essentially vote against the universal basic income is what they're trying. They're trying to condition the sheep to be getting free money every year, and that's what how they're trying to persuade people.
Agreed, Bill. And the other reason is the camel's nose inside the tent.
That's right. Then they're thinking that, hey, all you have to do, I get $1,600 a year. I'll raise taxes on the big companies here. Okay. And then you have to ask yourself, which, of course, I guess the brain dead would probably not ask themselves, where is that big company going to get the money? Oh, they're going to raise the prices that you pay them for the services that you're buying from these big companies. All right? Okay.
Plus, if you're working for a living, my friend, you're going to be taxed on that.
Yeah, indeed. All right, let's see what else. 118, definitely a solid no, like we would mention. Measure 119 would require the cannabis retailers and processors to remain neutral. In other words, shut up in their communications about...
Can you believe that?
Yeah, in other words, they have no... It's about stopping free speech rights for the cannabis owners, you know, that sort of thing. And in other words, it's a pro-union spiel is what they're trying to do with that.
And again, the argument, anything that comes from an 80%, 90% controlled legislature is certainly going to be in a way that's designed for their best interests and their special interests that they need to go ahead and satisfy to continue their power grab.
Very good. So there we go. There we go, Doc. I think we pretty much settled the state and some of the local measures. We'll continue that. And we'll talk next Monday more, okay? Thank you so much.
Look forward to it, and you have a great day, and best to everyone.
All right, Dr. Dennis Powers, retired professor of business law, 837.
Chips, Bill London, KMED.
20 before 9, Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers, recognize experts. They are going to be there for you today, starting at about 10 o'clock at 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. That's by appointment, 482-3715. Gold and silver. Gold and now silver on a tear. And some are speculating now that Russia and other countries are starting to add silver to their buying, not just the gold. Is silver ready to go on a tear next? Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you talk to Mark or Andrea, and they'll give you their opinion about these markets. They've been working this for a long, long time, one way or the other. They're about helping you preserve wealth in times of hinkiness. And not that there's ever any federal financial hinkiness in the United States of America. No, no, never. And yeah, I'm being extremely sarcastic, and my tongue is right in my left cheek there. But talk with him about real wealth preservation, a portion of your wealth in physical gold and silver. Or maybe you're looking at these elevated values and thinking, well, maybe I'm going to sell right now. Either way, they're there to help, the recognized experts. Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers, Ashland 1632, Ashland Street, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. On the web, fortunereserve.com. But they're such good people. Yeah, just stop in and see them today.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com. You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Toms and Talent, a quick take on taxation. You heard enough about it over the last few minutes. What's up?
You bet. My basic rule is never to vote for another tax increase locally here. Most of our tax dollars are going to our insane foreign policy of war, and more war. What needs to happen is we need to defang our insane, murderous foreign policy and direct those dollars back to us locally.
So. Yeah, that would be nice. You know what I really like, though? I was looking at my property tax deal, and my RCC bill is actually relatively small. I would love to take a good portion of that woke library district and shove it over to RCC. I would at least see some more usefulness coming out of them than sitting around and talking about stolen land arguments and going all wokester. But anyway, point well taken. Appreciate the call there, Tom. Let me go to Commissioner John West. Commissioner John West, Joe County, embattled, I guess would be a good way to describe it. At least they want to try to recall you. At least some want to try to recall you there. Commissioner, welcome back to the show. Good morning.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Great show you got going on.
Well, thank you very much. Well, now you're part of that great show. And what is What is going on, and what did you want people to be aware of? Because there has been so much drama surrounding this right now, and frankly, a lot of lies coming out of things going on right now too. What's happening? The latest on this drive.
There's a gentleman named John Oliver Riccio, and he has the Grants Pass Tribune, mm-hmm. and he's actually tried to he's been putting out all these lies about me, about Chris Barnett, but I sent you a copy of one of his texts, and I'll just read part of it. It says, there's a lot of information out there you're not privy to that I have not disclosed, but I can tell you this, that I have Simon and Dave Daniels, our sheriff, mm-hmm. both in a compromising situation to where I could have Dave Daniel removed from office tomorrow if I made my information public.
Oh, okay. Now, this is the guy running the supposed news source, the Grants Pass Tribune, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's claiming that there is information that he has that could actually lead to the removal of the, this is what this text message says then, could lead to the removal of these people. And if he's looking out for the people, if he has such great information, my first question would be, as a journalist, if you're really a journalist, why don't you just put it out there?
Well, it's because, Bill, he says, and he knows this, I don't want to start this type of activity in town, but I will if I continue to see the nepotism that is happening. And he tells me, do not hire Simon Hare for anything. Find someone else, or I'm going to remove your sheriff from your town. Well, that's extortion.
Wow.
That's a crime.
Wow. So in other words, it is kind of a blackmail thing. You either do what I say, or I will put the information out. And yet, if this was a good journalist wanting to help the people, if he thought that what was really being done by the sheriff was so horrible, wouldn't he put it out there anyway? I mean, in all seriousness, if it's that serious.
Well you would think so. And then he puts out a story, and he's got all these fake journalists that aren't real, that he just uses their name and he writes for each one of them so the public thinks that he's got all these people. But he puts out a story last week, I think it was, that says he has FBI records on me, and that he's going to turn them over. I got something to tell the citizens of Josephine County. The FBI does not give John Oliver Riccio from the Grants Pass Tribune any documents that they have. He does not have no FBI documents of me. There is no FBI documents of me doing any crimes. He says that I'm an illegal marijuana grower and I have the illegal marijuana farms.
Uh-huh.
False, true. This guy, he's one of the leading people that is pushing the recall, and he's putting out all this stuff. And so does the citizens, are they okay with with this guy saying he's going to take your sheriff out, our sheriff, our county, and that he's got all this damning information, but he never puts none of the facts out there. He just makes statements that are untrue. He never puts any of the evidence out there. And let's look at Chris Barnett. He tells Chris Barnett, get out of the race, or I could come after your family. I mean,
So a so-called journalist is threatening a candidate, get out of the race or else? Really?
Yeah, and this will go to the Department of Justice, because this is election interference. You cannot threaten a candidate that if they don't get out of the race, you're going to come after their family. You're going to do all these things to him and his family if he doesn't get out of the race.
Wow.
I mean, this guy, I don't know what his deal is, you know, but.
Well, I know that I haven't talked with Chris Barnett since the, I know there was the story that came out a few days ago that Chris was suing the Grants Pass Tribune for libel over these issues. But now this is not the Daily Courier. This is the Grants Pass Tribune, okay, which is appears to be an online news zine, right? Would that be fair? It looks like an online newspaper of some sort.
It's an online news thing. And the Grants Pass Courier actually had to go after him because he used one of their stories without permission, and they wrote an article on it last week. And they even said they had to go after him for using one of their articles without permission. This guy, I don't know what the issue is.
Well, in some ways, John, my only concern, though, in some ways, isn't bringing this guy up, in some ways, giving his stories more oxygen, even suing him at this point? Wouldn't it be better just to ignore him? Or do you think it's gone beyond a step beyond a certain level?
Well, I think it's gone beyond. My attorneys are working on, I'll just be upfront. My attorneys are working on a lawsuit. We've already contacted the DA, we're contacting Department of Justice. These are crimes this guy is committing. He's trying to extort me as a county official, as a county commissioner, and says, if you don't do what I tell you, and do this, I'm going to take your sheriff out, and it's on your shoulders.
Well,
you know what? I support the sheriff. I support Dave Daniel.
To me, it sounds like somebody blowing smoke, though, because any journalist that really thought that they had a sheriff on corruption of some sort or doing something would just print the story. If they have the proof of something like that, maybe it's just someone talking big, John. I don't know.
Well, it may be, but he also said that he sent me a text and it said that if you don't do what I tell you and you don't do this, I'm going to come after Chris. I'm going to ruin Chris. Anybody associated with you, he said. And it's like
wow.
I know what his deal is with Simon Hare. Simon didn't, as far as I know, didn't do anything to him. It's over a girl. This is almost like high school crap. It's over a gal.
Wow.
And it's high school garbage. And this guy's got a lot of power because he's got this online paper. But the citizens of Josephine County need to understand this. Is so another thing, Fields Home Improvement Center, the Fields family, Ron and Jason and their family are wonderful people. And so they quit advertising with him and he goes after them. He goes after them ferociously because they quit advertising. So if you're advertising and you quit being an advertiser, he goes after you. This guy, I don't know what his issues are, but I'm telling you, the Fields people are wonderful people, and they're wonderful in this valley. And this John Oliver Riccio of the Grants Pass Tribune is showing his colors, and the people need to pay attention to what is going on.
What I'm wondering, though, is that are the recall people using what the Grants Pass Tribune is printing then as part of their material? Are they doing that?
They are. They're using him to try to reach people, which he's only part of the recall, and they're using it, but it doesn't give the recall people very good credibility.
Well, what does former Commissioner Lily Morgan think about this? Has she talked with you about this? Because she's one of the people that are, involved, with him, or it's all part of the same group. She's lead petitioner on your recall.
No, Lily Morgan has not talked to me at all about the recall. In fact, she just keeps spewing untruthful stuff that she knows is untruthful. She's been called out on it, and she still continues to say the same thing. If they tell the truth, nobody would ever recall me.
Huh.
But they have to continue the lies and the mistruths, and they know it.
Okay, well, what makes you so prime in your view? What do you think? I'm asking you to argue the other people's side of this. Why do they want you out so badly, John?
Well, they just continue to hark that I'm destroying the county, that that I've cost the county $6 million. I have not cost the county $6 million. I'm continuing to save this county money. I'm continuing to make this county run as a tighter ship.
I also know that they're lying about your record with the sports club. Isn't that one of those things that some of the people have been talking about, the sale of the gun club to the group?
I had a gentleman call me yesterday afternoon about 3:30, and he says, "Hey, I just had a lady here on the recall, and she wanted me to sign it." And he said, "I asked her, what is the reason why you're doing this?" Oh, he gave away his sportsman park. I wasn't even commissioner when the sportsman park changed hands. That was three other commissioners. And so they keep saying that same thing. And then she said, "Oh, he's cost the county $6 million. I haven't cost the county nothing. I have saved the county money, but they keep making up these bogus claims. It's just wild.
Okay, I'm with you right now that the recall group overall does seem to be a bunch of high school student council people that are upset that their clique didn't get in. That's all it sounds like to me, John, but it's serious business that we're talking about here. I'm sorry. It seems that way to me. I mean, I've been joking for the last few weeks that Josephine County seems to be taken over by high school student council races, you know, where, you know, the arguments or fights like high school student council. He was a meanie. You were a meanie, John. I think that's what it is. They're saying you were a meanie.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I believe the citizens know the truth. They're seeing the truth. And, you know, I think the truth always wins. And this group, you know, whether it's Jay Meredith, Lily Morgan, Tina Gotchel, whichever one of them, they just keep saying it over and over and figuring, well, it's got to get traction. And, you know, at the end of the day, even if you get the signatures, you got to turn it into votes. And the people, I have people that said they didn't know what was going on. They signed it and they want their signature removed. I have people telling me that now. So, there's just so much more going on to this Grants Pass Tribune guy. You know, he makes all these statements, and these statements are false. He knows they're false, and he thinks he can hide behind the word media. Well, the law says if you make false inflammatory statements about someone and you know they're false, you can't hide behind the word journalism, media, all that.
Yeah, it's a high bar, though, to prove the malice part of it, though. That is part of the libel. I know it's what Chris Barnett's doing. I'll talk with him about that in the next day or two, but we'll see. We'll see here, John. I appreciate you. I just want to let you take a little stab at this because there's been a lot of smoke. I've been reading the smoke and just kind of shaking my head. Doesn't make sense to me, but I appreciate
it. Real quick, I got my property taxes here, and we pay one. It says Rogue Community College, $302.75. And down further, Rogue Community College bond, $26.86. So I'm already paying $329 right now to Rogue Community College. So, you know, if the bond levy goes through and it's what, 13, 19 cents, whatever.
I think it's 9 cents a thousand, isn't it?
I thought it was 13.
Maybe in Joe County it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have your ballot.
But I'm already paying two taxes to Rogue Community College. So does that mean I pay three?
I don't know. It's an interesting question. I'll have to look into that. I don't have that in my ballot, of course, not this time. I have a 9 cent per thousand, which is the Jackson County amount. All right, Commissioner, I appreciate you being on. Welcome back, okay? Anytime.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
You bet. Commissioner John West, it is 8:58.
Two Dogs Fabricating, fall blowout sale on their remaining
with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED.
KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass is where you happen to be. The jukebox will be coming up in about 3-4 minutes. That great, great classic hits music. And, of course, now on 106.3, Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins will be joining in. Okay? All right. Now then, Francine, somebody tried to scam you about Medicare. What happened? You got the call this morning. You want to make sure remind people about this, huh?
I got a call, and even though I have a plan, it didn't quite click because it's a Medicare plan, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And I said, you know, she said, "Hi, I'm so and so from Medicare," and I said, "Oh, hi," and I have a couple of things I've been talking to them about, so I assumed this was that. And she goes, "Did you get your new Medicare card?" And I went, "No, I haven't." She goes, "Oh, well, is your address still P.O. Box blah blah blah?" And I went, "Hold on a minute." I said, "If you're from Medicare, you would know my address." And she hung up. So there you have it.
Someone fishing, right? Someone fishing, looking.
It's a fishing scam. So I just wanted to let people know because it almost sounded, you know, I because I have an issue going on with them. I sort of thought it was real, and other people might too.
Oh boy, I'll tell you, it never ends right now. Never ends. Almost got you. Well, I'm glad you resisted the siren song. Okay, thank you, Francine. I appreciate that. Hey, it's 3 o'clock. Make it 3 after 9, rather, and everyone's going to be taking it away from me. But we will talk again tomorrow on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Always great conversation right here.
Representative Kim Wallen is a strong advocate for.